you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Nextel, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Nextel, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right. Let's do it. Block Party's out. I'm your host, Mike Wall. Thanks for watching. If you're enjoying, please subscribe, rate, and review on our YouTube channel, Process to Perform. Hit me up, Mike Wall 68 on X, or Process to Perform on Instagram. If you're enjoying this, thank you out to our sponsors, Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro basketball and college hoops throughout the year. With up to the minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props pools. In-game betting is amazing, by the way. Absolutely amazing. I mean, you want to talk about just turning a boring, you know, out of conference game into something exciting. Holy hell. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime for your desktop or your mobile devices. So head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use your promo code BELIEVE, that's BLAAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're going to talk safeties today. And I think that's a bit, for the Packers fans, it's been a real, I guess, in part a point of contention over the last couple of years. Really, last particular, since they got rid of Adrian Amos. Darnell Savage being a first-round draft pick, doesn't look like he's going to be back. Rudy Ford, a couple other guys. I think the word that, you know, you never want to use the word mediocre, but as it pertains to National Football League talent, I think you have to look at some of these guys as having kind of mediocre careers so far, at least for their time they're spending in Green Bay. So post-combine, here's what happens. Post-combine, the Packers probably have a pretty good idea right now that their draft board's shaping up. And obviously there's some workouts they need to go to, but they've got the medical. They've seen these guys on tape. They've seen these guys in person. They interviewed a couple people. I think they have a pretty good idea. I think Goody's got a really good sense of, okay, these are the players that I rank really highly. We've got a couple picks in the first two rounds. We have the 24th, the 41st via the Jets, and the 58th. And so my guess is they've got a couple positions that they're really interested in. We've talked about it could be interior offensive line. It could be interior defensive line. It could be it certainly is safety and secondary. And my guess is that the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, he's talked about it. He wants a safety who can erase a portion of the field. So you're talking about an Ed Reed type, a Polamalu type, somebody that has that range. But when you think about historically what they've been running at a single safety defense, a pressure defense, you also need that guy, and I don't think they have either of them on the roster right now, that is really good around the line of scrimmage, that can play on the offensive side of the ball, that's good at pressure packages, and really just a really secure tackler both at the line of scrimmage and in the alley. So I think when you look at the safety position right now, you need both. You're going to probably pay for one and maybe draft the other, or you find both. Maybe you think Rudy Ford can get the job done for next year and you just want to get like a real standout first round, high draft, high second round guy, or a high free agent guy that can come in and be kind of one of those two guys, either the guy in the back that just, listen, the side of the field is gone, or a guy that plays really, really well around the line of scrimmage. They also could be looking at, you know, that center guard we talked about. And it also looks like with A.J. Dillon leaving the team, Aaron Jones, I don't think Aaron Jones will leave, but he certainly has every right to shine off their proposal that he takes another pay cut from. I think he's going to make like $11.4 million or something dollars. It'll certainly, he's the best player on offense. I don't know if I would take a pay cut to stay around there at this point. I don't think that a first-round tackle at 26 is it 26? Or 24, excuse me. I don't know that there's a tackle that will make it to the first round that I would pick at 24. I think there's some, obviously Joel, everybody's talking about. We looked at a couple guys here. And I would say this, if the kid from UW, Troy, if he falls to 24, because he can play tackle or guard, I don't know how the Packers view him, he could certainly be a first-round pick as well. But I don't know that we don't need the right tackle from Oregon State. Just because we have a right tackle already. And you start looking at some of the interior guys, and historically the Green Bay Packers are going to pick up a tackle and make him a guard. And that's why when I see Faletano, that's what you look at. I think the kid from Penn State has very, very unique athletic traits. I don't know that – I think somebody's going to take a risk on him before 24 because he's so athletic, even though for me, I think he needs to have the right coach in the right situation to be a really good player, kind of maximize his ceiling. So there's always a running back in that area that you looked at last – Bijan Robinson, obviously up in Detroit, what they did with their two-headed monster, Bijan being in Atlanta. But there's some guys that you can pick up first and second round from a running back position to be a perfect complement for Aaron Jones if Aaron Jones stay around. So – we could talk about all the possibilities, I guess, but today let's just look at the safety position. There's some guys that are going to be available at that first-round pick or that 41st pick via the Jets. And if you can remember from last offseason, kind of post-combine, a lot of the safeties dropped in value. I remember Brian Branch watching him and just going, this kid's amazing, star position from Alabama. But his 40 wasn't quite what everybody thought it might be. There's a couple guys like that, so their value dropped, even though you turn around and go, what a great pickup, obviously, for the Detroit Lions, and some of those other guys have went on to have really good, I think, first years and have these great careers. But unfortunately, for a lot of these athletes, they don't show at the combine, they don't show the 40. The media gets a hold of that. The personnel guys in these teams don't want to be wrong. They don't want to miss on a guy, even though they've seen him on tape enough to know that the 40 doesn't matter necessarily if his play speed's fast. I don't know at the safety position, just the guys that I've watched, which is probably, I don't know, you know, 5-7 guys. I don't know that I've seen like an Adrian Wilson, a Troy Polamalu, and certainly an Ed Reed. Like you can start projecting, and usually what happens with these guys, and you know, I do the same thing, is I'll see a guy and you see the physical traits and you go, oh, that could be like this guy. That could be, it's not that he is that guy. It's not that he'll ever be that guy, that Adrian Wilson, a Cam Chancellor, a Troy Polamalu, an Ed Reed, a Honey Badger, right, a Buda Baker. But they have similar characteristics. And then it really turns into, from a defensive coordinator's standpoint, what do you value the most, right? And I just have to give my perspective as a guy, if I was building a team, you know, what do I value maybe more than anything else at the safety position? I think there's two positions. You look at, I always like, well, you know, to Seattle Seahawks, Legion of Boom. Earl Thomas, small, fast, range, violent tackler. Cam Chancellor, absolute unit. 6'3", 235, whatever he was listed as, 235. Absolute unit, enforcer, violent, violent, violent. I don't know if he could even play in today's game the way they call it. So I had to cut some criteria here because otherwise you just look at 100 prospects. I'm quite frankly not interested in doing that. Simple criteria to look at a player. Over 205 pounds, under a 4.5 40 time. So over 205, so a bigger safety, under a 4.5, good range, okay? That leaves two guys in their top 10. the top 10s that you find on the internet. Cole Bishop out of Utah, 6'2", 206, 4.45, 40. And Malik Mustafa, Wake Forest, 5'10", 209, 4.33. And then so I added James Williams, who's that kid out of Miami. And they actually have two good safeties. He's number 20. I actually like five as well. 6'4", 231, 4.65, 40. So not quite the hips necessarily as the other two, but an absolute unit. I would love to see an enforcer in the secondary, and this guy can play at or behind the line of scrimmage. When this guy lines up at linebacker, he looks like a linebacker, right? And they still, at Miami, they haven't played deep post as well. So he can cover tight ends. There's a couple different things that he can do. He's a unique body type. What you see with most of these guys is there's different levels of coaching that have gone into how they play. And there are some really not that subtle differences in athleticism. So let's look at a couple of these guys. Let's start with Cole Bishop, the kid out of Utah, 6'2", 206, runs a 4.45. My notes first, and then we'll watch a little bit of tape. Very fluid mover, very comfortable around the line of scrimmage. He's a good tackler. He can cover space effortlessly. Kind of plays the star position, much like Brian Branch did for the Alabama last year. He can improve his lane discipline, both in the run and the pass game. The blitz look, so the pressure game. What I mean by lane discipline, I'll show it on tape, but sometimes his angles aren't what they need to be. He plays a lot around the line of scrimmage, but he definitely has the range to play deep safety as well. So he can be that guy where if you're looking for a person that can take away half the field with his speed and he can play around the line of scrimmage as a sure tackler and violent to the ball, I think this guy is, you know, for me, one of the best in the draft this year. Let's take a peek. So first thing, they got motion. He's coming in. He understands leverage. He understands that if they go across, he doesn't want to be caught, being late in the flat. What a fluid mover this guy is, first and foremost. You just watch this here. So they're going to run a little a route back out, so an arrow out to the flat here. And don't watch the ball. Just watch the way he turns his hips, the way he moves, the way he gets around. Like a lot of the stuff with the safety position, when you're not always involved in contact, you're not always being thrown to, you can't just sit there and watch the ball and watch only the plays that they make, because there's so many times where a guy gets beat, they don't get the ball doesn't get thrown his way. There's so many times that he does a great job in coverage and the ball doesn't get thrown his way, or block protection in the ball, and he doesn't end up making the tackle. So you got to watch every rep for what it is, not necessarily just if you were watching soccer, a guy might just watch all the touches of a Kevin De Bruyne. Well, you can't do that in football because there's 72 reps. All the reps matter, and there's reason that things are happening as far as whether they're throwing the ball to him or not might be a consequence of how he's acting. So we look at here again, and you just see the way he turns on that tight end, can watch and read eyes. And again, just the flip of the hips to me is just very, very unique. And now he turns back around, and you just see, I mean, that it doesn't seem like a big deal, but the way this guy flips and runs is awesome. Awesome to watch. Stick his head in here. Good power angles, right? Feet on the ground, delivers the blow. Good body position, hip hinge, going through the ball carrier, knocks him flat. Now we take the high rush angle here, and of course the tackle makes a mistake. So the running back, he's got to be able to take this running back and go through at level and not pull through. He ends up getting a play here on this because we get a sack fumble. But this is not what you're looking for from a safety or any position, right? If you're going to run, 5 yards up over the quarterback, well, why'd you rush at all? You're not doing anybody any favors. This ends up working out for him, but just when you look at the angle here, you really want to occupy that space at the level of the quarterback or maybe a yard behind it, but not like 5-6 yards behind it, something you can work on. That's just coaching. You just look at the closing speed, and I'll back this one up one more time. So he's coming off the bottom of the screen, off the line of scrimmage. Really, really fast player. Really fluid mover. Don't watch the ball again. Watch the way that he comes off the line. So he starts at the tight end in the slot. Easy mark. This guy can cover from a speed standpoint, physical standpoint. He can cover all day long these tight ends. Anybody attached, not a problem. Watch the flip. The flip and the acceleration. You know, again, don't watch the ball. Just you're watching hips. You're taking a body type, and then you're taking the production, and you're going, does the body type make sense with their production? And then if there's any kind of gap, like he has not enough tackle. He has, you know, 10 tackles during the season. He has no picks. He has one pass defended, for example. Not that this guy's that case. You go, phenomenal athlete, very, very little production. And then you have to start going, okay, do I know that staff? What do I think of that staff in terms of development? Do I understand the scheme and what he's being asked to do? Is he, in other words, is he always playing deep safety or something to the point where he's never going to get to be part of the action? If that stuff isn't marrying up, if it is marrying up, then you go, okay, can I envision him executing the scheme that I need to, given the skill set that he has right now with a couple tweaks? If the answer is yes, and you think he's a phenomenal athlete, then you start looking at him as a first-round pick. If the answer is no, then you figure out, like, how much time does that take, and what value of a grade do I put on that based on when is it going to take him to get to the starting level that I need? So we see the run, and that this is a stay in your lane moment. So they have a trips release down here. Safety's coming up over the top, and you just got to know what the priority is as far as he tries to undercut this, run with the guy. He got caught watching. A lot of the safeties in college get caught watching quarterback's eyes, especially in doubles and trips looks, because they're always looking for that second guy to come over across their face. It happens to here. It happens later on with Mustafa. You have to be able to understand and key the routes before the snap. If you are watching the quarterback's eyes, you have to be able to watch him while playing full speed. You can't get caught stepping or get caught looking. Obviously, you see if a defender blows this here. Now, you look at just the drive here. This receiver's not doing a great job of challenging leverage at all. This is an easy play for a guy with fluid movement. But he certainly has it in spades. You know, he can pick pocket whenever he wants there. Really, really talented guy. Now, we talk about improving lane discipline. What you could do versus what you do. Come down a little bit harder. Now, he ends up taking some guys out here, and this is phenomenal. But when you rush upfield, quick thing here. This is kind of fun to talk about, all right? So if I'm the safety coming up top and the back's offset the other side, 9 times out of 10, they're either taking the inside handoff, right, to go straight downhill, or they're coming across my face, so they're going to enter into the B, the C, or the D gap. So as the defender who's got outside contained because I'm coming off the edge now, what you really have to understand is if I go high, I could run myself out of the play. And what I really want to do, because they're not going to hand the ball off straight across in this formation and have him try to run outside the numbers. So what I really want to do is I want to force this guy back at the line of scrimmage so I can really create that pile at the line of scrimmage so that my defensive end, my defensive tackle, the backside contain, this guy has to stop earlier. He can't shift underneath me. And when he has to slow down and change direction, that's when my guys catch up, right? He's a little bit high here, but I do like the way he brings on contact. So that's Cole Bishop. He's top notch as far as the guys I watched on tape. Quite frankly, he would be he'd be a great fit for the Green Bay Packers, because I think, quite frankly, if you get two guys like him, you're interchangeable. You don't have to have a range guy and an enforcer. You don't have to have that. You can just you could be like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer back in the day for the Bills for the last couple of years, where both guys can do both things very, very well. Second player, Malik Mustafa, 80 tackles last season, only one pick, only one half sack. So my question immediately is why? We just kind of talked about it. This guy is regarded, here's one draft analysis, elite athletic skills, made Bruce Feldman's freaks list at number 59, something, 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 something. But 80 tackles is good. One pick, half a sack. Okay, why? Why is that? Why does that? Does that? Those numbers don't match what his athleticism looks like. I think when I watch this tape, for me, my notes are he has great range, but he has not been coached at an NFL level at Wake Forest. The coach, he has not been prepared to play NFL football yet. Physically, he can do it. But in terms of identifying scheme, identifying routes, pre-snap, kind of the processing stuff, etc., he's got some work to be done. He doesn't always take good angles to the football. He can certainly improve his tackling. One thing he can do, and it's very unique, and it'll translate to the National Football League, he can fool a quarterback because his range and his speed is so great. All right, but he does rely on his athleticism too much for the National Football League today. Going to need a great secondary coach. They run a system at Wake Forest that promotes aggressive behavior and a little bit of predetermined lanes instead of reading your keys and moving and acting. So that processing is taken away from him a little bit, and that's not no fault of his. That's just how they play the game. He's going to need some time to develop, but if you have a guy that you're like, I hired this coach. Here's the thing about the National Football League, guys. Sometimes they hire the coach because it's your kid. Sometimes they hire a coach because a friend told you, hey, hire this guy. Sometimes they hire a coach because they need a guy who's good at like Microsoft. Sometimes they hire a coach. Rarely they hire a coach because he's the best developer of talent available, right? That last one's rare. But if they hire that guy and they've got him in that and he goes to this building, this kid could be special for sure. Let's take a look. Effortless play speed. You see the read. Just comes down and just the way this guy moves. So this is interesting. So they're kind of playing like a three safety look, but really this guy's going to rob the middle and he's already predetermined to come down. So you look here with the handoff, he's teeing off the running back and he feels like he can play it inside out because he's so fast. He gets caught up in the wash a little bit. So you don't know if you love the angles, but you do like the fact that like when you've got guys that are really fast, they kind of see things differently than everybody else. And so I don't know if I think anything about the angle he took other than it just shows that he's a really, really fast guy. And he feels like I love the fact that he tracks inside out. So you see here, he's in the back. I didn't highlight it. Let me go back there real quick. We're just trying to show. So he's lined up just inside the hash at the 30-yard line. You just see the turn in the range. It's just effortless, man. He's just running on the line, looking back, no slowing down. Easy, easy way to cover speed, huge strides. So they got this shell look, and they're going to cross his face, okay? Off the trip side. So they got this shell look, and he's got to pick up backside here. And you just see how easy this is for him running with these guys. It's just effortless. He's just he's jogging half speed, waiting for this stuff to happen. Obviously, the quarterback's going to go to the dig underneath. I think the two receivers down here screwed up and got in each other's way. But having said that, you know, it's just so easy for this guy to cover deep. He's just got ridiculous range. Now we talk about Hunt and Hammer and being a guy that, again, my criteria, you got to be over 205, right? And under a 4.5. And that's exactly what he is. He's 209, runs a 4.33. So you want to be able to come down here when you're on the goal line and just, especially right now when you already got a guy hanging on, I don't want to hit him with my chest. I want to hit him with the top of my shoulder pads. I want to run through this block and I don't want him to gain into the ground. I want to see a guy just absolutely get demolished here and lay flat for no gain after contact. And he ends up kind of rolling him around. He doesn't actually get into the end zone here, so we'll see the next play, but I'm not thrilled about that. Now we look at he's coming off the edge. He's right in the middle of the field on the 5-yard line. He takes that angle. You want him to take the tighter angle off the backside of the tackle for the same reasons we talked about. We go back to the start of this play. And you see backs offset. Okay, so if they're going play side, and those are going towards the back with the quarterback keeper, I'm sure they know this already given what they have over there in that bunch look, then he's got to know, I got to get to that flat position, and then I can always work back off the line of scrimmage. I don't want to go too high and have to track backwards. All right, so we can improve the lane discipline a little bit, but you just see the speed, the closing speed, ends up making the play here. Again, this is a great college play for the NFL play. You might need to get a little bit better just because of the speed of the players as far as angles. Now, We got man coverage across the board. We're rock and rolling the safeties. Okay, so they're starting off in a two. They're really going to drop to a single high. You see what happens here. So we got the dig. We got the curl. We got the crosser on the inside of the trips. And you just see the range here, man. He just gets all the way over from hash to hash, almost picks this ball off. So again, we're at the hash mark, top hash mark at the 50-yard line. And they're all in man. And you just see he's reading the quarterback's eyes and try to be playing a play, a robber, a lurk position right now. And just he gets across the hash mark in the time that ball's thrown. Speed, man. You can teach it, but the old adage is you can't teach speed, and this guy's got a ton of it. Want to be the hammer, not the nail here. And I think this comes up a couple times when watching this guy. I don't know that I love his tackling. You like that he got in the way there, I suppose. But you want to see some improvement in the tackling, and then this one is unacceptable. So he's got the sideline to help him. He tracks near hip here. You either push him out of bounds, you make a clear tackle. And unfortunately for him, and this is the problem, right, he's in a bad position. He has him cut back inside for no reason whatsoever. And luckily the trailing tackler makes the play, but this is not a combo tackle situation. You don't give up the sideline as a friend, right, when you just try to knock the hell out of that guy on his near hip. You see the space, and the reason I show this, he's in the middle here. So he's playing cover two. He looks like he's dropping to the middle. He's on the, what's that, like the 35-yard line, almost in the middle of the field here. And you see he's covering this side, but you're relying too much on your speed now, right? You can't give somebody with an NFL-style quarterback that kind of space because they're going to be able to throw him open. Right. Once you get to level, you got to trust your speed and get a little bit closer, be able to, so you can close this gap, because this ball could be on a rope if you're in the National Football League. Now, again, this play ends up not being a big deal because he drops the ball. But from a discipline standpoint, from a footwork standpoint, but really maybe most importantly for the Green Bay Packers, who have had just trouble with guys tackling, I don't know if the Wake Forest guy, as talented as he is the right guy for the job right now. Don't know the secondary coach for Green Bay. Do know the secondary has been mediocre for the last couple of years. Jair Alexander had his worst season last year. I don't think that's anybody's fault necessarily in the building other than Jair, whether he's injured, whether he's going through something, whether. But at his level, it becomes a lot less about coaching and a lot more about, where your head's at. But I don't know, just given Darnell Savage, given Eric Stokes, given all these guys and we'll just call it mediocre play, average play for the NFL secondary. I don't know that he's a guy that I look at and go, I want to entrust the development of first rounder with that room right now. Both personalities in the room, that might be part of it. And then obviously the guy who's running the room. So he's probably a no for me certainly in the first, maybe he's that 41st, not the 41st pick, but the second round pick. What number did I have there? 58. And I'd only say that maybe he's a third round guy, certainly, maybe, but athletically he's a first round athlete, but he's not a first round talent right now. Now we got James Williams. James Williams, the kid out of University of Miami. This guy is an absolute unit, man. These stats: 6'4", 231, 4.6540. You immediately go, oh, that's Cam Chancellor. I mean, and when you see him on tape, you're just going, oh my good God, he's huge. He's bigger than their linebackers. I mean, he's more imposing, I should say, than their linebackers. Notes: big body, enforcer at the box safety position. Miami does play him high as well. It doesn't feel like coverage is his strong suit, quite frankly. Not incredibly fast or explosive after watching the other two guys. So there's all kind of relative value here. He does have 30 pounds on these other two dudes, or 25 pounds. He can cover tight ends in man. He can definitely fill that enforcer role if you want to play a single safety high defense with a guy near the line of scrimmage a lot. You need a great safety coach to develop this guy as well. He stands out on film because of his size. He does get caught looking too often on tape. He gets caught looking in the backfield. He gets not confused, but he's slow to play some of the route combinations. Not as fast as you want to see it as far as play speed and kind of recognition. But again, I always think with a lot of that stuff, it comes down to like how well were you coached earlier in your career, talking about high school, talking about college. I think the guys that are top level a lot of times have top level development. I don't know that all of these guys, that's the case for everyone. I don't know anything about the Miami structure, but he is put all over the field. He does make plays. He's a, when he, I say he's a tackler and a physical presence. Like this is one of those guys where everybody starts knowing him because of the licks he puts on other people. All right. You just have to be able to deal with that and make open field plays against, you know, the Percy Harvins of the world, the Bijan Robinsons of the world. You got to be able to bring that guy down, not only in the pocket, but also outside in the alley. So let's take a look at this guy. Had him playing against Drake May here in North Carolina QB just because it was fun. You see the vision here. He's going to try to jump this route. Stand a little bit flat-footed. Hunt and hammer. You talk about putting a guy in the box, single safety high, putting him in the box and just going, hey, man, it's time to eat. Eh. I mean, he just dump trucks this dude, right? That's a college running back playing for a high-level team, and he just looked like a highlight tape, like a, you know, I remember when Andy Katsimori was coming out from Ohio State, went to the Patriots. There was this picture, man. They kept showing he was tackling dudes, and they were liking it to a deer hitting a train or a train hitting a deer. And this is how this guy looks when he hits people sometimes, man. It's like a train hitting a deer. So we just think about business decisions here from other guys. You want to have guys on the field that other people don't want to mess with. So number nine tries to test him a little bit, and it's boom, punch, pushes him over the pile, right? It's these are the kind of guys you like to have on the field. They just have to come with the other qualities as well. I think he can match tight ends. You think you can put him in the slot. They're comfortable doing it. They put him in man coverage a lot. All these little out routes. Like he's going to – the thing is, he plays off enough in this situation where the guy's probably going to make the play, but – he's probably going to get the guy down as well. So maybe we tighten up his coverage. You put somebody behind him. He's certainly not going to play against a really true slot receiver, but you put a tight end in the slot. You got to feel comfortable that from a size standpoint, he can probably get up and muscle him a little bit. He does need to play a little bit better with his hands. We'll show that a little bit later. But they don't make this throw, but you see like he's in a position to make plays. The transition speed's not more than he can handle. So they got four shell across. They go out and up, okay? We get caught peeking a little bit here in the backfield. We just saw this from the last from Mustafa. You get peeking, and you see here, dude, he's just in the wrong ballpark because he got caught watching the quarterback on the pump. 22, you know, unfortunately doesn't have a double there where he could definitely have a double. Those kind of things, there's just a little bit of confusion, I think, a little too often on tape watching this guy. And then the last thing here we saw is the tight end kind of takes a double block look here. And in this situation, you know, you're 6'4", 230 some odd pounds. You got to put two hands on this guy and really think about your block protection, right? This is unacceptable. You got to separate and be able to make a play here in the hole. It just can't happen. You didn't do a good job of getting your hands extended. You didn't step two. You're not being able to step into this tackle. You're going to try to arm tackle and reach. Like these are the things when you're talking about what do high-level guys do? Man, they're first to contact. High-level guys are first to contact. They're violent with their hands. They know how to punch and separate. They can win with their feet. These are the things that a lot of college athletes now, coaches will say things like, you know, coaches will say things like, we don't have time for it. Coaches will say things like, you know, we the scheme takes care of everything. And really you start watching these games, it's like that's not that play wasn't a problem if you're violent with your hands. And that play was called back on a holding call from somebody else. But that play is not a problem if you're not violent. You make a tackle for loss, you make a tackle at the line of scrimmage. If you're better with your eye discipline, if you understand their route combinations for when they're lining up, like if you spent more time on that, you probably don't get, you know, got peeking in the back in the secondary. Especially when you got the guy over the top in that particular look in the cover four when he gets beat deep, like there's no scenario where he's jumping the hook or the quick out. Like it's not how the defense is run. So, you know, for me, when I look at these three guys, and there's some other guys out there, you know, obviously I think the top guy that everybody's talking about is either Javon Bullard from Georgia, 198 pounds, weighing a 447, or Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, 6'1", 199, runs a 4.6. Listen, these guys are all probably good. There's a kid from Washington State, 211 pounds, runs a 4.6, Jaden Hicks, right? He's probably a guy you could take a harder look at as well. Really good angles to the ball carrier. For me, we're kind of talking what's best case scenario. And best case scenario is like you have the guys that are fitting whatever that criteria is for you. And I think for me, it's either I think you want the fastest guy possible as long as he can tackle. And I, you know, obviously when you think about Darnell Savage being, you know, sub 200 pounds and a feeling that that might be a kind of an issue in today's NFL now with the guy that needs to play closer to the line of scrimmage. You want to get a bigger, you want to get a little bit bigger body. He's got some meat on him can at least take on, you know, the crack blocks from wide receivers and take on some of those tight ends. And then you start thinking, well, if I got a guy with any range that's just a big, like an extra linebacker, you think about how the NFL is evolving back to 21 personnel, 22 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, where you've got slightly larger humans and fullbacks and tight ends into the game more and understanding that they're the guys that oftentimes are going to be leading on these safeties. And if they are leading on these safeties and they don't have kind of that bigger box safety type, you've got yourself a real issue. Because if I'm running down at 240 at a guy who's 195 pounds, he's going to lose every single time we try to go into confrontation, which means my running back is going to look really good. So I think we might be going back to the time. If you look at the NFC now, you look at Detroit, you look at obviously San Francisco, you look at Philly, and they're going to run with some of these bigger body guys leading up, you know, particularly San Francisco, who's at the king of the hill right now. They got, you know, Juszczyk and George Kittle are redefining those positions again in the National Football League and what they're able to bring to the table from their motion slips, their outside blocks, their leads, the things they can do, and the way that they eat up some of these safety types, or when you have to double off to a corner, like, you need a bigger guy in there that can combat that and take away a portion of their offense. I don't know if you can do that with a guy that's sub 200. You can do a lot with a guy that's sub 200, but for my money, you want to get as close to the best of both worlds as you can. And quite frankly, I think in time, both Cole Bishop and Malik Mustafa could be that guy. But I think right now you get Cole Bishop and you feel pretty good about yourself. I mean, you just got a hell of a good football player and that just moves effortlessly, you know, just moves effortlessly and just looks, he's 205, 206, but he looks like a big dude on the field against the other college football players. Now, the other part of this equation, obviously, free agents available that have great resumes in this league. Okay. I love Quandre Diggs. I didn't know Quandre was as old as he was. He just got released by Seattle, him and Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams is actually always an interesting thing because he came into New York with the Jets, right scheme, right guy, right coaching, right system, and was just awesome his first year, just unit, right? Just use him around the line of scrimmage, not a lot of coverage responsibilities, put him in the pocket, put him in the hole. He loves violence. He's really, really good at it. Then guys started forcing him into coverage, and you realize, man, he's got a real blind spot. His coverage is not what it needs to be at all. Put him out in space. He's not that great of a tackler against shifty guys because he's always trying to, you know, it's athleticism versus technique. But I love Quandre Diggs. Quandre Diggs is available. I think he's even going to be better next year. I know he's getting 30 years old, but you look at him. He got hurt, came back last year. He played high level. They release him. I think that's a value, right, especially for a kind of mentor in that room. You got, I think, Hyde and Poyer are leaving Buffalo. So those guys are obviously north side of 30, great players. How much is that going to cost? Simmons leaving the Broncos, great player. How much is that going to cost? All these guys come in immediately, have a major impact on the team. Again, for me, Diggs is kind of the top guy. I think I have some other numbers up. There's some other guys in here. And the problem is they're all, you know, Buda Baker. God, Buda, I had Buda in Bellevue High School in 2009, right? Where you're just going, he's a freshman. And I remember 2 years later, my buddy Matt Hayes calls me and goes, this kid Buda, he's undersized. He's the best football player I've ever seen. right? And he certainly proved that. And they had some dudes on that team now. Dave DeCastro was on that team. Miles Jack was on that team. Like, they had some dudes. But Buddha is just special. 28 years old, you know, ups and downs. Incredible career so far. He's a club option. So I don't know if he's going to be there. But, man, if he was there, just write a check and take care of that position for 3 years. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's going to be out of Philly. Excuse me, out of Detroit. What am I talking about? Only 26 years old. So he's not Justin Simmons. He's not Buddha. He's not Quandre, not Micah, not Poyer, but he's a good player. He talks it. He tries to back it up, right? He's violent. He gives you what you want. So there's some guys out there that you could build through. You know, if you can get a really quality guy and then you turn around and you go, now I feel really good about drafting like Mustafa, or I feel really good about drafting Williams. And I know that I'm going to put him in the game, but he's going to have a veteran mentor who's just high, high level football IQ and how to do things with intimate knowledge and detail. And he has time. He doesn't have to be the dude. We can put him in situations to be successful, a la Jamal Adams' first year with New York. We can put him near the line of scrimmage. We can give him lanes. So look, Quay Walker, what he was talking about. What was the difference between like Quay's good games and Quay's bad games, right? The more direct route he has to like structure frees you. So the more structure you put in where he needed to go, lane discipline, dogs and blitzes, pressure looks, run fits. The more direct he is, the better he plays, right? Because you start going on autopilot and you use all the skill that you have, all the talent you have, but also everything you've learned, you go on autopilot because you don't have to think about that read as much, right? Initial read. You can do that when you have the guy in the back end that can cover for you. So having a veteran, I think, would be a huge, huge windfall for the Green Bay Packers. You got to spend the money to get a good one. It looks like the good ones, if I go back to that number, it looks like the good ones are going to cost you somewhere between, let's call it 6.5. Now let's call it, just to be safe, let's call it $8 million to $14 million, something around there for those guys. Maybe a little bit closer to, you know, 10, something like that, just because they're all kind of north of 30 right now, except for the two, three really, Jamal, Buddha, and Gardner Johnson. So I really, really liked Cole Bishop. I thought he was, I just think he is unique in a movement standpoint. He seems to be a real heady football player. I was a big fan of watching him. I do have some listener questions. I just got a couple this week. Thanks for everybody who sends this stuff in. Unfortunately, I made a comment about the real world being the end of civilization, and I got a lot more information about that than anything else. Ever consider going to the front office, Mike? Player procurement route. Thank you. It says I seem good at it. I don't know. Understanding how people move, I think, is really, really important to understanding whether or not what a guy's ceiling is. And I don't think they spend a lot of time with that. If you look at the criteria for a lot of coaching staffs or a lot of personnel guys, they have some criteria that when I watch it, I go, well, it doesn't really tell me anything I don't know already, right? So you're always kind of going into the lane that you understand. So if you don't understand human movement and just say, oh, that looks good, you know, you just basically want to start from the feet up very simply and say, you know, does this look elite or not? But I think if you can tie in, which I try to do when I look at these things, you try to tie in, you know, how technically sound are they? Eye discipline, lane discipline. You know, how does it look like they're playing fast in the structure of their offense or defense? I think, you know, basically when you start looking at the stuff outside the physical, which a lot of people can get, even though they can't necessarily get some of the details in specific movement, I think it tells you so much more about a player. So if a player is like a technical master, I come out of college, like that tells me he's good technically. What else does that tell me though that is going to help me for determining whether or not he's a good fit for my team? Well, I know he's professional. I know he has great attention to detail. I know he has a high level of resiliency. I know that he's curious. I know these a tape watch. Like, I know all these things already. I might not know that about another guy who's a great athlete, but I know it about the technical guy. And so it's easy for me to just take some things on assumption now. And I know he's receptive to good coaching. And I know he probably holds a high standard for himself. So those things already give me a leg up on everybody else just because I'm looking at the right thing, right? I'm looking at the details of how this person moves, how he interacts, how his technique works, how his skill level is. And once you kind of start figuring out, looking at it from that standpoint, I think, you know, nothing's easy because there's so much of personality and motivation that you have to learn and dig deep and see, hey, is this going to be a personality conflict? What is that going to look like? Is the juice worth the squeeze kind of thing? But I do think there is something to the process of which we go. Some teams are going through that now, maybe isn't as like efficient as it should be because they've been doing the same thing for so long. And all they're doing now, just so everybody knows, is like when you throw in the S2 or you throw in like the relative athletic score, like all of that stuff's great, but it's just a glance. Like it doesn't get down to like, you're not changing the fundamental of how you look at things. Like, are you looking at their process or are you just like trying to see if they're a good athlete? Like you have a box that ticks for like aggressive behavior, or you actually try to figure out like from a process standpoint, are they doing things the right way? Or are they just a really good athlete, or are they just in a really good scheme? Like how they do things really, really matters. And I don't know that a lot of people do that still. This is interesting. I'd be curious to see how much you would have to eat and the kind of workouts you would do, not only to keep the muscle and fat, thanks a lot, but also be able to play a full game. So good question. Here's a short answer. 7,000 calories a day when I was playing. I started off the day with 2 pounds of ground beef and some hot sauce. So a lot of it was protein. As much lean protein as I can eat. So as much lean protein as I can eat. And then the next most important thing is carbs. I always thought about fats as let's not have like dairy fats. Let's not add, we can have like nut fats, like almonds, peanut butter, et cetera. Those are really good saturated, unsaturated fats for you. But you're going to get most of the fats you need out of animal fat. Right. And then you can, obviously you eat a ton of fish, all that. You get all your fish oils. You can have, you have that omega-3-6 ratio. You can make sure that you're good with, and you can do some blood work to figure that out. But really the rest of it is going to be like, if you need to maintain or gain weight, the hard part is the carbohydrate is it fills you. It makes you look fuller. It's not going to help you cut if you're trying to look good. But what I found one year that I restricted carbs more than I should have. I was down in Carolina. I couldn't hold water weight during a hot day. Like I was getting IV twice a day during training camp down there. One, because it's ridiculously hot and humid down in Wofford, but two, because quite frankly, I was too lean. At that point, I was like 15% body fat as offensive lineman. And like, it was just really tough for me to keep weight on. I was losing over 10 pounds every practice. I didn't have enough cell volumization through that, the carbohydrate meal. I was always like too dried out. So that is a problem, but yeah, it was a real stretch. And then workouts, I just always make the comment to my training partner, my best friend, man, he's like, man, if we would have had social media back when we were doing what we were doing, because we were doing a lot of, we did strongman lifting. We were with Mark Phillippe, world's strongest man competitor. Like in the off seasons, we were lifting with him all the time. We set up obstacle courses on Wednesdays that like, you just look at them now, like, what are these guys doing? Just nutso stuff. We used to do the wrist rollers until the calluses would tear off our wrists and to start the off season, our hands. A lot of heavy lifting, a lot of work, two sessions a day. We would go for 3 hours in the morning and just, when you find that, if you have a partner that you just pushes you, I push myself hard. But if you find that dude who's like you're equal in like nuts craziness and just desire and intensity. And I found that guy in Ryan Clare, let's call him Coach. He just pushed me every single day. There wasn't a day where you could take off. And we would get another guy there and we would go do stuff like they had the 250-pound kegs that you had to, clean and press the kegs. And the deal was with Mark Phillippe back when we were training at UNLV, would be like, hey, if I got a guy who's an NFL prospect, I want him to be able to come train with you. That was like the price we paid for being able to train there. And we're like, no problem. Ryan was one of those guys. That's how we became friends. But initially I would go out and I'd take the keg And I would just start doing keg presses at the end of the first workout until he quit. Cause it was like, I got to test you. And I 3, 4, 5 guys quit the first day. We'd do something else. Maybe we'd do a farmer's or something, but it would be like, they wouldn't show up the next day. It was too much. And Ryan didn't quit and we're best friends. So that's how that works. They might have one more here. That's kind of off topic, but not off topic. Oh, how far do you want to go to stretch for a safety? And I think the true answer now is, you know, if Goody's willing to pay a guy, these 30-year-olds, man, as just somebody in that room, and Adrian Amos again, a leader. If you can get that guy and it doesn't break the bank, I think that's worth a couple draft picks this year. Because I think the veteran leadership, I think the experience and the knowledge. Listen, if your secondary room isn't performing like you want them to perform, it's not only the players, it's also what or how they're being coached. And I'm not going to sit here and attribute that to we have a new secondary coach. I'm not going to attribute that to the last secondary coach because Joe Barry is ultimately responsible for that. But if your guys aren't performing, what's obvious in the National Football League is players, like I learned more from Frank Winters and Jeff Dellenbach than I ever did Tom Labott. And Tom Labott was a good coach in the National Football League. But like you learn from the guys that are older doing it, give you these little like, hey, make sure you're doing this. Think about this. I saw this rep do this, you know, put your foot, you know, that stuff from a player resonates because they're out there doing it. They're giving you some intimate details. Like it's almost like they're telling you a secret that nobody else knows. So that stuff helps, I think, develop younger guys. If Stokes stays around, some of these other guys are, you know, 24, 25 years old. Like it helps develop those guys at a level that you could bring a really, really good secondary coach in. And I just don't think I think the supplement of having that veteran guy in there, high level player, Pro Bowl, all pro caliber player, you can't put a price tag on that, man. It's so important for this team. Cause this team is, I mean, let's be honest. If they keep developing, they're really close. Like they're really, really close to being exceptional. Now they're going to have to fight in their division, obviously with the Detroit Lions, but I think they're really close to being exceptional. So that's it for this week, guys. Thanks again for watching. Thanks to our sponsor at Bet Online. And I will be back next week. I'm not sure with what yet, what position. Give me some ideas on YouTube or MikeWall68 on X. Smash it, like it, subscribe it. Thanks for watching, guys.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. Ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.